This is Power Athlete Radio. With your host, Denny Kaye, Professor Booty, and V. Luke Summers. And now, toes forward, hips locked, shoulders set, and retract those scapulars. It's time for some knowledge bombs.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to Power Athlete Radio. We are so pleased to welcome back Coach Zach Evanesh of the Underground Strength Gym. If this is your first time tuning into our conversation with Zach, you are definitely in for a treat. If you happen to hear our last episode with the wrestling and football strength conditioning coach, you know that this man epitomizes passion. Every time I hear Zach speak, I'm reminded that some people were just born to coach. Listening to him is like breathing a fresh breath of motivation to take on the tough clients, the losing teams, and continue to battle the bullshit. Today's episode is a bit of a commentary on the woes of our industry, but as you'll hear, the plight of the hardworking coach is not without validation. Sometimes parents and athletes themselves are their own worst enemies. As the guys discuss, many uneducated folks don't know what they don't know. Zach even makes a comment regarding the irony of the situation. As he mentions, the people who should be listening to this podcast and others like it aren't. The ones who are probably need it the least. Well, if you are listening, tell the shitty coach at your gym to get in on this. This is episode 141.
Power Athlete Nation, what is up? This is Luke here at Power Athlete HQ with Jay Welly, John Wellborn, the man with the plan. Tex is over in D.C. He's joining in. Denny is traveling somewhere for a strongman competition.
I thought it had to do with his new Zumba classes.
Yeah, strongman Zumba.
Yeah, strongman Zumba. It's kind of a hybrid.
Yeah, no, it's not. It is exactly a hybrid.
Well, yeah, I guess it's not kind of a hybrid. Well, the only thing it's hybriding is the fact that he's
driving a Prius.
Well, he's driving a Prius, but he also has to dress like a Latin flamingo dancer,
which is his best look.
Oh, isn't it everybody's?
And on the horn, joining us from the East Coast, the other coast, is our boy Z, Zach Evanesh. What's going on, homie?
What's happening, Power Athlete Nation? You guys are, you're one of my favorite podcasts, man, because you guys, I feel like this is the shit kids should be listening to in school. I do.
like what age group?
Fucking bring it on.
Yeah, they probably wouldn't grasp it, obviously, in first grade, but I just feel like, I don't know, you know, dropping some F-bombs, discussing violence, steak, heavy lifting, big trucks. And I always think to myself, I go, I use, you know, third grade math to run my business. So I don't really know what is necessary to be taught in school after that age anyway. Today, my son was coughing up a storm. He was doing it last night. And I said, dude, you're getting sick because wrestling practice, you're going to bed late. You need to go to bed early. So this morning, I let him sleep in. I took him to school late. And I said, dude, do you want to stay home today and just rest? He goes, no, today's gym, and gym is awesome.
Nice.
I'm sure, because it's like you're coughing a lot. He's like, no, it's awesome. He's going there just to work out.
Nice, dude. My wife has always asked my kids if they want to stay at home, and they say no.
Yeah.
And she's always like, why? And they're like, because we get to – go to school and color and have lunch. And she's like, well, you can color and have lunch here. And they're like, yeah, it's not the same. We want to go. And they've been saying that since they were 2 or 2.5, which I don't know how my wife and I would necessarily deal with it. But
well, they got to watch, listen to this podcast.
They do, but they don't listen to me anyway. So the minute my voice would turn on, they would just shut off. So it'd be good. But, dude, we were having a epic conversation off.
Off the line.
Off. Well, this is on the line. This
but
is
it was off
line.
Off
so,
the line.
So some of our pre-show stuff is actually – the best part of the show, and unfortunately we're a bunch of dipshits that don't hit play, but just to give you guys a little backstory, what we were rapping about is Zach is running into what every highly successful, good coach, strength coach, runs into at some point, where the internet, and I refer to internet in this kind of global, kind of dark crystal sense, gets just that deposits fraught bullshit everywhere. He's running into this kind of head-on where he's trying to be this beacon of light and offer good training in a part of the world that is built on fucking toughness and like shoveling snow, not this pussy ass California place we live, the Great Northeast.
Preach.
And you know, running into this head on, where you know he's trying to work his way and develop these kids through the best method, which is a very simple, basic, hard work mentality, and he's getting fucking a rope-a-dope by a bunch of people that are getting offered fancy sport specific training. And I think every coach that has worked with any type of athletes will always run into this, which is the grass is greener or the shiny shiny lure that gets dangled in front of parents and people like, oh, no, you don't have to do this. You should go to spin class. You can get all that shit. So that's what we were wrapping with offline. And,
yeah, and before the show, we also do, like, we have our video muted so we can't see each other now because we like to show each other we're not wearing pants on the podcast.
Yeah, well, it's a pantsless podcast.
So Zach's not wearing pants, but the crazy thing is he's in a bathtub full of water with a toaster next to it. He's ready to depart. So we're trying to walk him off the edge and let him know everything's okay.
Well, what's even stranger is he's walking around his town in a set of, like, fatigues, and he has a bag, and he keeps quoting Falling Down. For those of you guys that haven't seen the movie, it's a great one. Go to YouTube, check it out. Oh, yeah, it's the best. It's like,
I want to go. They could go on YouTube since nothing is sacred anymore.
Well, I mean,
now thanks to YouTube, you can find fucking everything.
Well, we've also come to the conclusion, and I've said this many, many times, that the lowest level life form on the planet is the YouTube commenter. The people that comment on YouTube are on a par with basically pond scum and the dog shit that gets fucking trapped in between my sole on my shoe after walking around maybe on the grass for about a week.
Stomping on dog turds.
YouTube is its own underworld. Like, they're literally not like walking earth amongst us. They're like beneath us, and it's this like fucking crazy ass tribe of everybody like screaming out there. You know, it's like it's a bunch of just computers with like retards and rejects sitting behind them screaming.
Yeah, the people trying to troll the YouTube videos or something else.
Yeah, yeah. It's like I'm definitely on the verge of falling down in the sense of the strength and conditioning community. I mean, it's, oh man, it's fucking making me nuts. I can't believe I'm even having to say it, but this will be my free therapy session.
Exactly. So tell us how you're feeling, Zach.
Oh God. Let me tell you how I'm feeling.
Fuck me.
We were, as you guys said, we're rapping about the sports specific shit. And, you know, there's GPP, there's general specific, and as you guys said, sports specific is when you're doing the sport itself. And the reason why, the reason why I get fired up is because it ends up cheating the kids. Meaning I have no respect for a coach who pulls that bullshit and it doesn't actually help the kid. Like, until the flux capacitor actually happens, no kid is going to be able to go back in time and rewrite the history books of his high school or collegiate sports career or hers. And I just don't understand how people are duped into that, meaning this is football specific workout, and there's parents out there, many parents out there that are, they fall for that shit. And when I look at like what is really the difference, right? Meaning, somebody says this is football-specific work because they're sprinting, they're running hurdles and doing all that stuff. We do a lot of that shit too, but it's not all the same. Meaning, just because this coach says he squats and we squat, it's not the same, right? We had a football coach stop by my gym 2 weeks ago because I wanted to help the team. It's a neighboring town. The team is like 3-7, 4-6 for the past 2 years. He sees our guys floor pressing, trap bar deadlifting. He's like, we do this. I go, in the back of my mind, I'm saying to myself, don't lash out. don't lash out and start educating.
Exactly. All I can hear, dude, whenever I hear shit like this is like, don't push me because I'm close to the edge, which is fucking rapper's delight, you know. And I do, whenever I hear shit like that in the back of my head, it's like, don't push me because I'm close to the edge.
Oh, man. That song is so funny. So I know, you know, even people have told me this, like, you know, in business, like somebody comes to you, you used to own your CrossFit gym, John, and somebody's like, hey, you know, I want to like tone and tighten my abs and thighs, and You're not supposed to say, well, fuck that. We don't tone it tight. We're going to squat. You say, absolutely, that's what we're going to do. Then you get them in the door, and then you start doing your thing. So this guy's saying, yeah, we do all that. And, of course, I go, yeah, I hear that all the time. He goes, no, no, we do. So one of the kids that trains there, he's like, he comes to the gym after leaving there. He goes, motherfuckers. He goes, motherfuckers. He goes, everybody in this weight room is doing their deadlifts with their back rounded. They're squatting not even halfway down. He's like, I'm sick of this shit. I go, I know. But he said that you do all this. And that's the thing. Like, people think that a squat is a squat. Well, if everybody squats and benches the same, then why isn't everybody benching, you know, 500 pounds like Westside, squatting 800-900 pounds like Westside? Because it's different. It's the same reason, like, every pizzeria uses, you know, their dough, the bread, whatever, the tomato sauce and cheese. But why is this pizzeria different than the one right down the street? It's the chef. It's how you do it. It's all those little details that are the difference between good to great or even average to good. And those details are so disrespected outside of, like, the highest level strength coaches that I almost feel like we're fucked in the strength and conditioning world. I really don't think that this is going to come full circle, meaning I don't think we're going to come back. I mean, we did have a little bit, right, in the early 2000s, the functional training craze, like you had to do everything on one leg, on a stability ball with rotation, and then it started getting into more of, like, you know, the free weights, the powerlifting, the weightlifting, but I don't think we're going to get back to basic, hard fucking work. I don't think we're going to get back.
I completely disagree. You know what, and just to ask you a question on that, I could never really figure out when people started talking about functional training and it looked like sitting on a busu ball on one leg trying to balance. And I remember asking him, like, what's functional? Are we preparing for an earthquake? Like, I don't remember the ground moving underneath me. And, like, I was like, maybe if we're surfing? And, like, I remember them talking about, like, no, it's functional. And it never made sense to me. And I just ended up mocking that because that's really what I do when I don't understand something. I just mock it. And when I trained out of Mark Verstegen's place, Athlete Performance, I think after a while they just asked me not to come back anymore because I was mocking them so bad. And they said it was bad for business because other people were starting to mock them. But case in point, I think we saw a departure from that. And then obviously, you know, and I really have to give, you know, tip my hat to, you know, really, you know, CrossFit for getting people into barbell training, because I think people – you know, got into it. They liked the barbell. They started putting weights in their, and I, you know, in their garage, would say. And there's kind of been a resurgence for that. But I think at this point, people are going to go back to more basic barbell stuff. And I think in terms of training, you know, for the masses, I think it's kind of here. But the problem is, Zach, and I think what you're running into is that with college prices for tuition going up, all these parents now are like, you know, my kid has to get a scholarship, or, you know, that's become a big thing now. So these parents figure, like, oh, the earlier they specialize, the better they will be. So then all of a sudden this coach goes, oh, we are doing football specific training. And the parent who is completely uneducated goes, oh, well, I want my kid to be good at football. So if the training is tailored towards football, the problem is that the general public and the masses have no fucking concept of, like, hierarchy of training and at which point you specialize and all this stuff. And, I mean, dude, I've written blog post after blog post about it, that the world's best athletes and the people that I played with in my last job, most of them didn't play football until, like, later in life in high school. I mean, I can't remember any of the guys that I worked with that were like, yeah, I started playing football at 7 years old. Most of them, like, I played hoops. I did all these other things. And I just kind of got into football. I mean, you look at Antonio Gates, didn't even play football in college. You know, went and played basketball and then went and tried out. And, you know, Tony Gonzalez and different people. I mean, look how many pitchers were baseball guys. And so you see these athletes developing their skills, because football is one of those things that really it's the sum of the parts. You develop all these skills and it just so happens to kind of fit you in. And, I mean, it's kind of like wrestling. Like, what's wrestling-specific training? It's wrestling. Like it's you're in a room practicing wrestling moves, and then when you leave there and you go to the weight room, you do strength training, which is your basic barbell work. And we had you know, who was at Miller on the podcast talking about his hierarchy of athlete and, you know, athletic performance. And it's like, dude, at the end of the day, if you're strong, stable, and you do basic barbell strength training, you know, whatever it looks like, and you couple that with actually doing the training of your sport, like actually going out and doing it instead of hand-jobbing yourself into think that, like, doing a speed ladder in the gym is all you need to do to be successful in football, it's fucking bullshit. And, you know, you're seeing it, and I'm seeing it. And more importantly, when people ask me about it, I'm like, dude, I have experience. I've been down this fucking path, and I'm telling you what the scams are, what the potholes, and these people still fucking fall into them.
Well, see, I think it's the generation of the biohack and shit like that. Well, and on top of that, the fact that technology does in fact make life easier. It allows you to accelerate a lot of the shit you're doing in terms of productivity. Like, technology is an amazing tool.
Well, it
and
is.
People are looking for gimmicks and technology, and they're absolutely they're fascinated by some of these gimmicks. And they're like, this is the cutting edge technology and practice that I need to participate in to make sure that I can get to the next level quicker. When in actuality, it's all about just fucking, as you move the dirt, axe to the grindstone, grind it out. Squats,
yeah, you can't biohack physiology. So I think...
Yeah, Tex, but there's the fucking bulletproof hack, the bulletproof scam artist guy. I mean, that's what he has, millions of followers that are trying to hack the code. I mean, Zach, just to give you a background, anybody that tries to talk to me about biohacking, like every fucking hair on my body stands up and I get like an acid reflux reaction because it's bullshit. It's let me show you all the ways that I'm going to teach you to cheat the system that don't really work, but I'm going to give you the illusion that they work because it's social media and I can Photoshop and lie. I mean, it's fucking nonsense. But I think you guys are right, man. In this day and age, there's this idea that there has to be some shortcut because we found a shortcut for everything. Mm-hmm. Instead of having to walk down the street, now I can take a fucking this. I mean, I don't have to call a taxi, I can call an Uber. Instead of like actually going home and checking your messages for your, you guys are probably too young for that. Now I have
answer
a phone.
Machine?
Yeah, and
answer
I
machine.
A pager.
I miss that simplicity. And when I think about, while I was listening to your podcast, and I'm like, damn, the people who need to listen to this podcast are not listening to this podcast. So I wonder if guys like us were pumping out all this educational resources, giving them information, coaching, all these things, but the people that are getting it are the coaches or maybe people that used to be the competitive athletes. But who are the people that need to be listening to this? The parents of this up-and-coming generation. Like, my concern is, will we keep creating more and more coaches who outnumber the amount of athletes, or kind of in this weird way, there's lots of coaches that are in the schools, right? They're teachers. I'm talking like at the high school level or the middle school level, and they suck. They suck because maybe not their skills, not so much their skills, but they don't care about excellence. They're totally cool with average. Like, nobody fights back about that. So I have a problem with that, meaning when I see a wrestling team, football team, or any sport, and they're losing year after year, right? They have like a 70, 80, 90% losing ratio. And I'm like, has no parent stood up and said, why? Like, what is going on here? Does nobody fight back against it? It's accepted, right? People like, I've learned that people like myself are not liked. In fact, a buddy of mine, he's a vice principal at a high school. They take sports pretty serious down there. He was an All-American wrestler. He was a state finalist in high school. He was 2-time coach of the year. I mean, this guy is awesome. And we're looking like every year I just update my resume. I update a cover letter, and he looks at my thing, and he goes, dude, don't ever send this resume to a school. In fact, the reason why is because I sent it to the town I live in as a volunteer coach. He goes, get rid of that cover letter, all this passion, all of this working at Rutgers, working at Lehigh, working at Blair Academy, training over 1,000 athletes, developing, you know, countless all-state wrestlers, training athletes for Olympic trials. Get rid of that. That's going to go straight in the garbage can if you send that to a school. I go, are you joking? He goes, nope. He goes, this is going to freak people the fuck out. Now you're going to, everybody else is going to be, you're going to, they look at this as you're a threat. You're going to come in, start questioning their system, questioning their authority. You're going to start pushing them to do more work. I go, so you're telling me that excellence is basically, it's not a good thing.
It's dead.
He goes, not in the schools. And I said, motherfucker. Like, I'm just pissed.
Hey, Z, what was the name of that bar in Lehigh? We're right over near the college. We used to always go there when we went there for training camp, and there was like a bar. Was it called?
Damn, I don't know that.
Was it called Shooters?
Yeah, I don't know. You told me about that with the
Did you guys
have training camp up there when you were with the Eagles? Did you go?
Yeah. We used to go stay in the dorms and practice at the facility, and that's where we always went to training camp, was Lehigh, Pennsylvania.
That's it. Yeah. So
there was this local bar that we would go to for fucking eat that place for lunch. That place would just get killed. But I can't remember the name of it. That's where you said Lehigh, and all of a sudden it was sticking in my head. But
yeah,
all right, I'll look it up.
I remember you asking me about that a while ago. So thinking about Lehigh, I remember when I went to Lehigh last year. Well, actually, when I first went to Lehigh, I went up there to just train a group of guys at the time. Coach Buxton, who's like one of the most respected and world-renowned high school coaches, he had built up Blair Academy into, you know, what you would call a dynasty. They just demolished people. And after he left Blair, he went to Lehigh to run the Lehigh Valley Wrestling Club, which is all the guys that compete internationally and now Olympic trials and doing all that stuff. So they didn't even have their own strength coach. They would hire independent contractors. This is a school, $50,000 a year. Right now they're ranked 6 in the country, but they didn't even have like a guy that was like serious for it. And when they brought me up there, their wrestling room was connected to their weight room, which I think was over 100 years old. It was fucking just beautiful. I have an old photo of it. And I go and I warm the guys up on the mat, and then the head coach says to me, I just want to warn you before you go into this weight room. You know, it's old, it's a dungeon. And in the back of my head, I'm like, sounds like fucking heaven to me. Take me into the weight room. Can't remember how many guys I had in there. It was a blend of their guys that were competing, prepping for Olympics, and their higher level guys, starters. And dude, it was like a 750 square foot gym. It had the old Dr. Yessi's glute ham developer in there. The ceiling wasn't very high. They had just 3 half racks in there. They had thick handled dumbbells that were up to like 180, 190. I mean, we were just destroyed that gym. When I actually went there and was hired as the strength coach, they had a new multi-million-dollar facility put together. Fucking air conditioned, just real perfect, you know? And when I went there, I was like, man, first thing we got to do is not train in this gym. And I took them to train probably on the side where the football team trains, which is the other side of the mountain is what they call it. And we just fucking – I literally had them like just shy of like a street fight to just make sure that like we started things off on like the most violent way possible. Because what I've learned – year after year, and I know you guys speak about this all the time, is like there's so many programs that are so imperfect, but if the person has that proper mindset, or maybe he's a higher skilled athlete, like there could be so many flaws in the training program that it actually helps them perform better in the sports arena. Meaning you and I, us guys, we know a lot of people that are these high-level kind of scientific programmers. They're talking about percents and perfect reps and optimal rest periods and, you know, high-low method and don't train hard 2 days in a row. But when you do that, are you really building a bad motherfucker? Are you? You're probably not, unless that person is coming from a violent background. Maybe he's got like a – think about like the Navy SEALs. Like, do those guys train optimally? Nothing they do is optimal, and that's the reason they break them down and build them up to become what they need them to become. And I think in training, all this perfect stuff It is so. It is the fucking enemy. It is just too perfect. And I believe that, like, building bad sons of bitches through, I don't even want to say a weight room, because I don't necessarily need a weight room. I could do it in a garage or a backyard. It is the ultimate equalizer to develop the person mentally and physically. You know, it's and what is the tough thing is people like us and the people listening get that. But the people who need to understand it don't get it, right? The people who need to be listening are the ones looking for, you know, the speed school, the functional this and that. And the reason why that fires me up is I've had many kids come from those speed schools and they can't do one pull-up. They can't do a bodyweight squat below parallel and maintain a flat back. You know, like, that's, to me, like, what the fuck was going on for 6 months? And I just get, I take it personal because I feel like the parents get ripped off. They worked for that money and they got duped. The kid loses 6 months of preparation time, which we could make a lot of progress in. It just fires me up that people don't get it. And I honestly, like, my fear is that people will never get it because, you know, we talk about technology. Nowadays, people don't look at your website. They'll look at your Instagram, maybe your Facebook, and you've got 5 seconds to capture somebody's attention and inform them. And then you're at the mercy of a swipe of a finger, right? And in strength and conditioning, the best strength coaches are not the most successful, meaning they don't have the most athletes, because they require consistency, dedication, hard work. They require the things that actually do work, and a lot of people do not want that stuff. They want they get – it's just they don't like the work. That's what it comes down to.
I can speak to a lot of what you're saying, Zach. So two coaches that I've run into just in my journey, the first is the five-star hotel, the guy that makes sure that there's a perfect post-workout shake. He makes sure it's 68.8 degrees in the weight room for his guy so he can make the most out of that training. But he's not necessarily preparing him for the stresses. And the second is, this is mainly sport coaches, but the five-star general. The guy who's just a dickhead, he grinds his guys into the ground trying to drown them all just to see what leaders emerge. But at the same time, he is doing so much damage to his team just on that team level, team chemistry, not even developing leadership. Those kids that emerged, they were leaders to begin with. So he's just crushing and then doing more harm than good.
There's a blend. You have to have a blend of science and what I call practicality, or what I just call, like, blending science with hell.
You guys are missing the single best analogy for this, Rocky III.
Yeah, Rocky III, Rocky IV.
You got Stallone, who's training in the ballroom, and you got Clubber Lang, who's in the cellar, grinding it out, and he goes in there and he lays a beat down on Rocky, and then what's Rocky got to do? He's got to go to Venice Beach, he's got to go find, you know, the place, and you walk in, you see those dudes, and he's like, they're hungry, and they're all training in, like, a sweaty, dark gym, and, like, that's what he starts doing, and then he re-gets it, and, like, dude, I'm with you guys, man. Like, when I see something that's too nice, I'm always like, man, this is too nice for us, dude. We don't belong in this, and, dude, I've trained in really, really nice facilities with perfect weights and all that, and, dude, those are never the places that really, like, somebody, like, some creature just crawls out of it, just destroys everything. It's always the strong, the dirty, like, the grindy, the hot, the cold. I mean, just rusty. Like that place. Yeah, rusty, weird equipment, homemade stuff. I mean, that's the stuff where you come out and you're like, man, strong people come out of this place. The people that come out of this place are, like, fucking, you know, are the people that are going to quit on you pretty early on. So, like, Rocky III was, like, the best analogy for that stuff.
I remember when I was watching Rocky III, when I was first training athletes out of my parents' garage, and I remember pausing. I had it on VHS, and I remember pausing it when he was walking into Tough Gym, and I took out a sheet of paper, and I drew the Tough Gym sign. I was like, I'm going to call my gym Tough Gym. And then, in Rocky III, what did Mickey say? He goes, Rock, you did the worst thing that could happen to a fighter. You got civilized. And I see that happening with many, many athletes. They get civilized. They find that perfect place. And, you know, Luke, who's saying that? Luke, Tex, who's talking about, like, the guy that just grinds you down and kills
you? That was Tex.
So, Tex, exactly, right? You have the guy that's trying to be perfect, perfect, perfect. But in sports, there's no perfection. There's no absolutes. There's so many, you know, unknowns that could happen. So we're not developing them mentally. And then the guy that just beats the shit out of them, well, you know, a parent said that to me. They're like, oh, are you like this other coach? This guy used to be in the area. He, you know, my kid used to like, oh, he would almost throw up. Okay, so that's the fucking marker now of like the great coach, like make you throw up. Like people are just, they're so, you know, people are going to believe what they're going to believe. And I just think it's, we're in this like weird place now where I feel like the strength coaches and the hardcore lifters get it, but the people who need to get it are out there getting duped. Like they think, you know what I'm saying? They think that what their kid is going through is helpful. But I guess like my reality is I want everybody to be a champion, but there's only so much room at the top of the mountain or at the top of the podium. And, you know, it's the food chain, right? It's the food chain, like King of the Jungle. Like not everybody can be the predator. There has to be the top, the middle, the bottom of the food chain. But what pisses me off is I feel that everybody can be very successful, but there's so many fucking excuses behind, oh, I can't eat, oh, my mom this, my mom that, oh, like, I'm so confused by people's willingness to just do this work. That's actually not hard. Like, lift 3-4 times a week, do some body weight on your own, go out and sprint, and fucking eat eggs, drink cold milk, eat a bunch of steak and turkey sandwiches. Like these younger kids, it's so much easier for them, but they make it harder. And what I'm learning, especially these past few years, is that these kids that don't get started on this training earlier or who come from a program that doesn't have good technique, when they show up in late 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade, it is taking a really long time to just build them into having the ability to do a bodyweight squat, to do one push-up, because they've detrained themselves beyond what somebody is in a state of if they've never worked out before. They've made themselves like weak and fat and unable to move, and it's like you're starting at the negative with some of these kids. It gets harder and harder, and guys like myself who want to help these athletes, we're actually hated. Right, the sport coaches don't like you. They don't want their kids going to you, which is like, to me, I always say, why not? You don't have to run the weight room after school. You could go home and do whatever you want to do, spend time with your family, and let us build the athletes for you. But they don't want to, and it amazes me because I look at it very black and white. Is this thing that is doing, whatever workout is being done, is this the best thing for the kids? If not, then let's do the best thing. Let's make it better. But a lot of places don't look at it that way, and it's amazing how people accept it. That shit fucking fires me up. Like, I'm so confused seeing a team that loses year after year, and how come no parent is like, listen, why is my son's football team losing all the time? Why does nobody want to fight back for that? To me,
Zach, is it like a literally across the board you're having this experiences? Are you meeting more progressive coaches or running into on the front lines when you're dealing with these parents who get it?
Yeah, I am. It is. I'm telling you, as an independent strength coach, like I'm getting to a very emotionally exhausted point. And I'm not going to mention names of other coaches, but these are coaches that you guys know that either currently own gyms or don't own gyms. And they're also sick of that bullshit of, you know, the parent will rather take their son to a place that's 5 minutes closer to home and $50 cheaper versus saying, what's the best thing for my son?
Hey, Zach, as I'm sitting here, I think the problem is, you know, and we always are talking about, you know, when there's a problem, you know, don't tell me about the problem, give me the solution,
right?
Which is kind of the power athlete, you know, mindset where it's like, you know, I don't care about problems, I just care about solutions and how to get around them. But I was thinking about it would be interesting to, like, you know, for you and I and maybe Travis Mash and, you know, I could think of a few others to actually write something and be able to actually put it in, like, a small kind of ebook pamphlet that would be super cool to even put on the websites or be able to email out to people or even hand to them. So, you know, a parent calls you like, hey, I just want to send you this little bit of information about sports-specific training from, you know, some of the best in the industry as almost a way, you know, because then you have information where they can kind of go through it. I think it'd be pretty cool to be able to circulate it or even print it out and have people come in or just hand it out. I mean, it'd be something that would be nice to be able to send to every single parent in America where they open up and it's like, oh, do your kids play sports? Yeah, my kids play sports. And they open it and they're like, at some point, somebody's going to talk to you about training. And, you know, let me talk to you about a few different people and their perceptions of that. And it just seems like the parents are looking for the quick fix or looking for the easier way. And, you know, and what's unfortunate is the 5 minutes closer and the $50 cheaper is a huge problem because they don't assess value. And like, we talk about this all the time, like, you know, what's the value of it? And if people can or they can't understand value, and the training has become just basically a commodity because anybody with a pulse and a few $1,000s can, you know, open up a gym and, you know, get some rogue equipment and throw it down. I mean, before to open a gym, it took a little bit more because it wasn't as easily accessible. And now, you know, for a, you know, you can go to across the level one. I mean, you can do, you know, basically you don't even need that. You can just basically just with a website put up, you know, training high school athletes, sports specific training here at, you know, sports specific training barbell gym. And, you know, with a, you know, a few $1,000s from Rogue, all of a sudden now you got that, you got some indoor putting green. And next thing you know, you're doing sports specific training because that's what you saw on the internet. Yeah, and it's, you know,
intervention. It's, we need, you know, and I work like, man, I put a lot of energy into this and, we should definitely do that. And you know what's interesting is I wrote a book, right? Pretty large book. And I give it to a lot of coaches, athletic directors, and they don't pay mind to it. They don't look at the photos of those kids and read the trend. It's like they're okay with just punching that clock. And I had a seminar at my gym, and I ran this seminar, I think it was early December. And the first thing I spoke about was, you know, in New Jersey, there's this area down by, you guys know Steve, I forget Steve's last name, he runs Steve's Club, right? He runs the nonprofit. And that's in Camden, which is one of the, it's like a very dangerous area, real dangerous.
Yeah, dude, I lived in Philly, man. That's I know right. Exactly where Camden is. I rode across the bridge right there all the time.
Camden's like, it's they got problems. There's no sports specific nothing going on there. But 2 or 3 years ago, one of their wrestlers won a heavyweight state championship. Then last year, I saw another one of their wrestlers in the states. It is friggin' hard to qualify for states, let alone win a state championship. Then before I even owned a gym, I was at Rutgers University at something called Junior Day. And I think I shared this story with you guys, but they had a bunch of those round circular tables that are at like the high school cafeterias, could sit like 10, 12 kids at them. And there was one, two kids from, you know, all these high school teams. But then Camden, and I'm not talking about Camden Catholic, the private school, but Camden, the public school, had like a full table. There was like 14 kids from Camden. And I was like, holy shit, you know why these guys are all here? And Junior Day is the top 100 recruits in New Jersey that are entering senior year. And I said, I know why they're tough. They have to fight their way home. They got to worry about being shot. They play street football, which you don't see anymore. You go drive by any park. When's the last tackle football game you saw organized by kids? There ain't shit going on. And that I said to the parents, I go, why do these kids who have no strength coach, who have no wrestling club, no speed school, why are they churning out all state, state champ, and all conference athletes? And I said, it's because they're tough and they fight. And what was the first thing that one of the parents said to me before I even did it? I said, hey, where are you guys from? What sports? Football. We're from this town. I go, nice. How'd you do? First thing one of the dads says to me, he's like, well, he got ripped off. So then after I spoke about Camden, I said, the next thing I'm going to talk about is, nobody's going to like this either, but it's important for me to tell everybody the truth is, there's no such thing as getting ripped off. I go, it's always a very clear cut, you know, it's very clear cut and obvious who is the best person for the job, be it in football, wrestling, baseball. You're either the most skilled, strongest, fastest, tougher guy, or you're not. And if you're not, it's because you didn't do the work. So wherever you are right now, it's because that is what you earned. If you didn't work, you know, if you're not big and strong, trust me, you ain't doing the work in the gym, out of the gym, the whole lifestyle thing. And I know they didn't want to hear that, but in my heart, I was like, I got to fucking unleash some truth on these parents. And that's where we need to be, right? So what is the solution for this is, I even spoke to Joe Ken. Joe Ken said he tried when he was in between jobs before going into the NFL. He goes, I tried helping at a high school, and I was turned down. Who's turning down Joe Ken? Like, do you know what I'm saying? So what we need is to really work with these high school kids is you must be in the high school. That is ultimately the best way. So there's communication with them. So they have an expert running the weight room rather than the science teacher. You know what I'm saying? Or whoever is picking up their extra $2,000 for the semester. And that's my thing is like these kids, they deserve it, but they don't know what they don't know, right? They just don't know. They haven't been educated. Nobody's giving us an opportunity to educate them. I know lots of strength coaches reaching out to sport coaches who get no response. And it's not like we're going to steal their job. We're there trying to help you. You know what I'm saying? So there's got to be a way. Can this book help? Man, I think it needs to be a free book, and it has to be somehow put in the hands of parents of athletes, somehow, some way, all around this country.
Yeah, I definitely think that's a great opportunity to highlight the lessons that can be learned from a barbell. So I know there's plenty of good quotes out there, but no one truly grasps it and understands it unless they've been buried by a squat. I mean, you don't know failure until you put your nuts on the chopping block, step up to 405 on a barbell, and you either hit it, you're done.
And
so that's
all the way down, right? There's no so when a kid says to me, I squat 365 in school, I go, how? 2 weeks ago, we just did 185. How did you double strength in 2 weeks? And what happens is in that weight room, there is a acceptance of good, or you don't have to go all the way down. You know what I'm saying? Like, you guys always put out that image, like, fuck mediocrity, fuck average. Like, that's what I'm a believer in. And whenever I see that, I'm like, I hope somebody's really taking this shit to heart. And when they are coaching, they're actually making everything excellent. Like, that half squat, no good, unacceptable. That round back deadlift, no good. We got to make it better. And, you know, that's a big reason why I left public schools is when I worked at that certain district, it was like, man, I'm trying to help these kids and the administration won't even let me. But it's not like that everywhere, right? There's down south in North South Carolina, Florida, they're putting a lot of time and energy into having high school strength coaches who are legitimate experts and have their shit together. The prep schools are doing it. The public schools could do it, but it's amazing how much yellow tape they have. But there's always ways around it, right? If I was a sport coach, you know what I would do? I would research who's the best strength coach in the area, and I would develop a relation. Then I would try and find ways to do mini clinics and fundraisers and all kinds of things that make the kids better. I wouldn't try to do it on my own. I'd build a team and literally try to leverage my resources instead of, you know, denying the fact and saying, hey, I could do this. Why not leverage the people out there who could do the work? You know what I'm saying? And that's where the frustration comes. And I've known some very good strength and conditioning coaches who stopped training athletes because they couldn't provide for their family. They're like, I can't. It ain't fucking working. I'm just going to train, you know, people who want to burn fat and be fit. And then you end up living a life not really doing what you're passionate about. And that's, you know, to me, that's no way to live either. So it's a double-edged sword.
And I think there's a little bit of a problem too. And not that, you know, this culmination of wise words from all of our coaches here is a futile effort, but I find myself trying to give advice or coaching, whatever, to people in person, over the internet, whatever. And it's like people will hear you, but they don't listen to you for some reason. It's like you're talking, and they're like, okay, yeah. It's like, did you fucking listen to what I just told you? Or did you just hear the noise that came out of my
mouth? No, I think what people are looking for is they're looking for validation for what they're already doing. We run into that all the time where people are like, ask me a question, and then I answer it, and then they try to, like, argue with me about it. And I'm like, well, dude, you asked me the question. It's not like, you know, like you're – you know, it just blows my mind. And what I realized long ago is that people have their kind of set perception on what they think is right or wrong. And then what they do is they ask certain people so that they can get validation for what they're doing. And then when you tell them that they're a fucking idiot and they don't know what the fuck they're doing, they
and
take
that's
offense.
That's sugarcoating it. That's, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just unsugarcoating it. Normally I say it in a nicer way, like, you know, you're a complete fucking moron. But I think you put it out there and and we have a term here at Power Athlete, it's called the butthurt. Like, the butthurt gets just so massive that they all of a sudden retract and they get in this defensive mode instead of being like, wow, hey, this is what I thought. I asked this person who, you know, whether or not I actually value their opinion or not, I did ask them, and everything has value, so I'm going to listen to what they say, and then that's going to force me to go back. I mean, I run into it all the time. I have an idea. I ask somebody something. They give me information that might be different than what I think. That it forces me to have to think. I don't really look at anything as a negative. I look at it like, hey, this is this person's perception based on all their, you know, experiences. I have to value them because, you know, this is legitimately what they believe. And so it just is a period of growth. And what I think is, you know, people have it all figured out. Like, I know how to fucking do this. This is how it is. And case in point, we had our seminar for CrossFit Football years ago. And this dude in the front row was just kind of an odd cat. And I remember, and you guys have heard the story, he was drinking this concoction. It was like a mason jar, and it was just fucking just smelled terrible. And he was just pounding this stuff. And I'm like, well, what is it? And he's like, oh, it's a dozen raw eggs. And it's like he had this whole, it was like this, you know, raw milk that I got from a cow and this coca. And he had this fucking concoction. And I was like, ooh, it's pretty aggressive. I was like, you know, raw eggs, a dozen of them? I'm like, dude, does that ever upset your stomach? He's like, no, man, it's going to make, you know, this. And he was telling me all the health benefits and how I was doing all this. And, you know, he's like, oh, it's this. And I'm looking at the guy, and he looked like dog shit. He was inflamed, belly fat. I mean, wasn't in good shape, wasn't strong, honest with what he, you know, where he was. And I looked at him, and I was like, dude, you know, how long have you been doing this? Oh, I've been doing it a year. I'm like, dude, well, let me tell you by my perception, because he was arguing with me about some of my recommendations. Like, dude, if you're going to eat eggs, make sure you eat them cooked. I'm like, you know, there's just too many inflammatory markers and too many problems with eating raw eggs, you know, and like dairy can be an inflammatory marker for people. And like, just went through just some just, you know, basic, you know, food kind of deal and allergies. And the guy's just arguing with me. And I'm like, dude, then why the fuck are you here, dude? You paid $795 to come here, and I'm fucking telling you. And, you know, and the guy was trying to tell me, you know, in his perception of mine, like he was this fucking, you know, great athlete and had all this shit. The guy didn't have fucking any of it. And, you know, I don't know, you know, whatever happened to that guy. I mean, he's probably listening, being like, fuck John Wellborn. But case in point, like, you know, people reach out and they ask questions and they want to get your feedback in this. And then when you tell them what you think and then they fucking battle you on it, it's not because they're interested. It's because they're looking for validation, which is this strange thing on the internet, which I still can't fucking figure out. It's like, you know, I'm going to spend, you know, 3 hours a day to find the perfect quote or picture or something to post on an Instagram or some other social media deal so that I can somehow get validation from a whole bunch of people I don't know. By them liking or not liking it, like, we're fucked up. Like, we're going down a path of ruination, and, like, you know, I just wait for this fad called the internet to pass. It's a fucking fad, like pockets and zippers and shit like that.
I think, yeah, it's like understanding the psychology of people is it's critical. And you're right. Like, when you think about, you know, I don't know if we spoke about this before we hit record. But Brandon Lilly was saying how, you know, the real powerlifters, the guys that, like, really built powerlifting, guys like you know, Kurt Kowarski and Ed Kuhn and stuff like that, like, they're not the guys that are getting the attention in powerlifting. It's people that are like, you know, you've got to deadlift and do backflips in between your sets, and you got to have, like, crazy hair and crazy outfits. So it's like this, right? Everybody wants that kind of entertainment factor. Or, like, what you're saying, it's like they feel bad if they take your advice. I sometimes look at, right, if we want the solution, what is, like, the governing thing in high schools? What do high school weight rooms try to run by? They run by bigger, stronger, faster, right? Like, that's their program. I don't know the deepest ins and outs of that program, but every time I hear a coach who's doing it, I guess they're either following wrong, right? They max out every week or every other week. It's always a max out. I don't know why the squats are not done full range to depth.
It's because it's bad for your knees to squat below parallel. So that's,
Power clean is a jumping jack back bridge. Yeah. So I almost feel like the way to impact, it would take a shit ton of money to create almost like a new resource that is the standard for phys ed teachers, high school strength coaches. You know, I'm not sure what the way things are going to go, but I always say, even though it's not easy, it's so complicated to actually make it happen, is I go, what I'll eventually do is underground strength gym will not be public, and there will not be two locations. There will be one. It will be in a barn and just a select few. It's probably kind of what you guys have.
Yeah, Zach, I refer to it as the life cycle. Like, I'm a big fucking life cycle guy. I don't know why. But the life cycle of a CrossFit coach or a small gym owner is eventually opening a gym that nobody gets to go to except them. And that's where John's at right now. Like, he locks the door. People, like, knock on the window and look in. They're like, can we come in? He's like, fuck you, get out of here.
Because mediocrity. You hit a wall with it and you're like, I cannot take it. But my fear is, then what kind of coach am I? Is that quitting? I'm quitting, or have I just exhausted my emotional and time resources trying to tell people, like, listen, like...
Nah, Zach, I'm going to give you one little bit of advice that has allowed me to sleep through the night without even waking up for not even a care in the world. When the student's ready, the master appears. So what you do is you go back into your barn, you go back and you train, and you keep doing what you're doing, and when the student's ready, they will find you, and it will become apparent that this, like, idea that I have to put up a sign and lure people in that aren't ready, like, I think about all the strength coaches and different people that I've worked with and gone, like, it was me physically going because I needed something from them, and I seek them out, and I found them. People find Power Athlete in the same way. Like, we get emails, you know, many a day from people that are like, dude, this has changed my life. Like, this is what I couldn't do, and I was searching for something, and this is, you know, this is what I found, and this is how I identify myself. And there's people all the time that identify themselves as, you know, I'm a Power Athlete, this is the community, these are my people, and they kind of embark within this. And that, to me, is important. And, like, that little quote, like, when the student's ready, the master appears, has become, like, such an interesting statement for us, and I think for you especially. Like, you've amassed this body of work, you have this skill structure, you can do these things, and if somebody shows up and knocks on your door and stands on your porch for 3 days without encouragement, food, water, or sleep, yeah, right, they are worthy to come in and learn what you've, you know, what you have. And the problem becomes, you have so many people out there right now vying. I feel like it's like, there's all these sharks and there's all these minnows swimming around, and it's, you know, like, we were watching a fucking guy yesterday who just repackaged up Lean Gains, and now it's intermittent fasting with 3 days of body, you know, and the guy's driving, you know, shooting a video in a rented house with a fucking lease or a rented Lamborghini, and, you know, I've done all this and this. He's going through it. I'm like, okay, there's a shark. And you know what? There's a whole bunch of minnows that are like, oh, if only I skipped breakfast and trained 3 days a week, I too could have a Lamborghini. And there's people that believe that shit. And then there's, you know, all these other sharks around. No, do this, do this, do this. And people are so, like, if you do my program, you too will get my gains. Little do you know that I'm taking 3 grams of test and, like, 4 grams of trend a week. am, I'm 26 years old, and I have a hairline that looks like, I don't know, George Burns. And but you know what? If you do my program, you too can be fucking elite. And it's just fucking bullshit. Mm-hmm. So, like, what we've taken is this idea, like, hey, you know what? Like, you'll see our hashtags of, like, battle the bullshit. And, like, you know, what we want to offer, like, I'm not trying to sell you anything other than the idea of performance and, like, trying to make you a better version of you by empowering your performance. I'm not trying to fucking sell you a gimmick and, you know, do this. And if you fucking do all this bullshit, it's all based on predicated on this, like, you know, like we said, like the move the dirt mentality. You just got to show up and put in your time. You got to do your work. You got to get good information and make small life changes. And then eventually you'll fucking get where you have to go. And that's what it's based on. But that idea of, like, when the student's ready, the master appears, mm-hmm. has to, and you'll get there and you'll have this idea where you're like, man, if fucking people need me, they will find me. And you know what? Me going out and chasing them and trying to battle with some parent who wants to fucking go, you know, five, you know, and you're like, dude, if driving 5 minutes more and paying a little bit more is what guarantees better success and a better environment for your child, like, you wouldn't do that? No? Well, then you're not the right fucking person for me. And I think, at least with me, I ran the life cycle of owning a gym, and I ran out and I was like, dude, I can't do this anymore. I cannot come in and work with people that, this is a really hard thing I had to wrestle with. When you want it more than the individual, mm-hmm. it's time to leave. And, like, I would go in there and I was wanting people to do better, and they just didn't care. And I'm like, I want this for you and you don't want it. I'm giving you this information. I'm helping you. And yet you don't want it and you're just fucking discarding it. And to me, it became, like, fucking emotionally difficult. Like, I couldn't fucking take it anymore. And I'm like, dude, I'm going to fucking either there were numerous times I told people, I'm like, just get your shit and leave, dude. I don't want your money. Get the fuck out of here. And they were like, well, what do you mean? And I'm like, yeah, this isn't for everybody. You are coming into my house, into my place of business, a place that I fucking call home. And what's wild is, after a while, I stopped training there. I joined a gym down the street because I couldn't come in there anymore because it was that fucking hard for me. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I realized, I'm like, I can't own a gym anymore. I can't run a CrossFit gym. I can't do any of this anymore. We sold the gym. We built Power Athlete. And you know what? Like, I've stepped back foot in there one time in the last year and a half since then. We went there to train one morning, and, you know, it's become really good. And I think, at least with us, this idea of, like, we're here, like, people will find us because, you know what, there are people that aren't fucking, you know, wrapped up in the shiny lure and the bullshit. And, you know, I'm going to Photoshop and, you know, do all this bullshit on Instagram. So then, hey, you know, watch me, look how great I am. Now, if you fucking now here's my secret squirrel program. And, you know, it's fucking nonsense. I mean, dude, we research all this stuff, man. Like, you know, Fisher works with us, is like, that kid fucking scours the internet for nonsense and, like, always bringing me things. And he just shows me, he goes, does this work? I'm like, no, that doesn't work. And I'll tell you why this doesn't work. And more importantly, I'll tell you why this person's pushing it, because everybody needs a fucking gimmick, because hard work, simple, basic, hard work, train, fucking consistency, sleep, eat, isn't sexy. And on the internet, dude, people have become so desensitized that the only thing that takes notice are the things that are the brightest, shiniest, most ridiculous, outrageous, craziest shit. That the most polarizing thing is what catches people's attention. So preaching a program or necessarily a methodology of, like, hard work, simple, practical, basic, frequency, getting in, being like, I'm not going to be able to get you fucking strong in 8 weeks. And anybody that tells you that's a fucking liar. This is going to be a lifetime of change. And I'm not coaching you for 8 weeks. I'm coaching you for fucking the next 10 years. And you know what? I'm expecting you to invest what I'm investing in you. And, but unfortunately, people have ADD. They can't understand it. They get fucking, you know, wrapped up and, you know, you program hop and they get nervous and somebody, you know, and all the time you're like, hey, fucking calm that bullshit. Step away. Take a step back and listen to the least non-crazy person talking right now. And and for me, like, you know, owning a gym was a tremendous experience. I met some of my closest friends. I wouldn't have met, you know, Luke and any of the guys here if I hadn't started that gym. I mean, I wouldn't even have met my wife if I hadn't owned the gym. She was one of our members and came to train with us. And so I owe a lot to it. But what it really taught me was that, you know, as a, you know, for the people that I believe that we are, which is this idea of, like, and I use the coach term very infrequently, this idea of, like, some really smart people that are good athletes that can help other people reach their goals. you know, there is a definite place for us. And unfortunately, slinging it out in a gym where somebody's coming in and price shopping you because they don't understand the value of what they do because they've never researched it, they have no education, no background for it, and they're coming in, you know, this guy up the street's got a similar name, he's a CrossFit, you're a CrossFit, it must be all the same because you guys are franchisees, right? And he's charging $179 and you're $180, I'm going to go somewhere that's a buck cheaper. And you're like, dude, that guy's in a garage, you know, at his mom's house and has only been doing this for 2 weeks. Dude, we've been here for years, but people, no perceived value, nothing. And right. So what happens is they go there, they get hurt, and then what do? CrossFit hurt me. It's a bad training program. Don't do it. And then instantly you're blackballed. And at that point, I was like, you know what? I'm not going to get into a fucking situation where I'm duking out and fighting with a bunch of motherfuckers, dude, that haven't even fucking can't even carry my gym bag in the fucking in the weight room. And but that's the deal you're at, and I think that, like, when I remember that from old martial arts movie, when the student's ready, the master appears, like, that to me, like, put a level of calm on me, and I'm like, I'm good. I'm fine to step away. This is what we're going to do. This is our passion. This is our mission, and we're going to find the people that are passionate and want good information and want to fucking become a badass motherfucker, and it's simple to me. But I think you're right in the fight of it. You're dealing with this, and fortunately, we're a little ahead of you in the life cycle, to quote Luke Summers. But it's become this fucking deal where anybody can do it, and I really hope that this is the peak and we start going into a descend like the mortgage industry in 2009. You know, who knows? So I'll get off my soapbox.
Zach, I've been over the past like 4 or 5 weeks. I've been trying to start to watch Fargo, the show on FX, and I doubt that you have time to fucking watch TV shows at night and crush this stuff.
I heard of that, but I got pulled into that show Homeland.
Yeah, dude. So before we get going on that, though, there was just last night I saw like first half of an episode, and one of the characters is sharing a story, and I'm going to read it to you. I found it on the Google here. A rich man opens the paper and sees that the world is full of misery, and he says, hey, I have money. I can help, and he gives away all of his money. People are still suffering. Another day, now poor, he sees another article in the paper that says organ donations save lives, so he donates a kidney. He still knows people are suffering, so he goes back to the doctor, and he says he wants to donate all of his organs, everything that he has, and the doctor says, you can't do that, it's suicide, so he sends the man home. So the man gets in the tub at home, slits his own throat, puts the words organ donor above him on the wall. On his gravestone, it reads, the man who gave everything. And basically, the character sits back, confused. He's like, what are you fucking talking about? And then the other dude goes to him, only a fool thinks he can solve the world's problems.
That's good.
You know what I mean?
Because
you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. People like us, we're so passionate. And I always tell people, I go, you just can't turn it on and off. People could tell you all the time. And then it almost sounds like you have a God complex, right? You're like trying to fix. You're trying to make every athlete a champion when the reality is there's room. There's only one guy gets the gold. Only one guy takes first place. So they can't all be champions. And that is true. And I think, looking back to the early days, talking about that life cycle, that is probably or very, very, very likely the way my gym or whatever it will become club is going to have to go back to the garage, back to, you know, invite only. You know, I remember my website didn't even have an address on it. You know, it was like, didn't want the wrong people finding out about it, and I had the right people then. I never had the wrong people lifting in my garage. And you try to always get the right people in, but sometimes the wrong people slip through, or you think you could change them, or you just don't know enough about them. And, man, you guys are right. And, John, I definitely think, you know, a couple of us got to get together and kind of put something together and make it free as a download. And then we just print out a shit ton of copies and make sure we're giving it and even fucking dropping it off at bookstores. Yeah. I think parents have to know, and they've got to get educated about that. And, you know, I look at
all you can do though, Zach, and I don't want to come off like a pessimist, like there's no fucking hope. But one thing that I think that there's absolutely try to influence everything you can, but focus on what you can control as well. You know, some shit's just going to be out of your control. And this is a perfect example of putting some time into trying to drive influence. And I think it's a piece that will definitely influence a population of people. Everyone? No fucking way, right? But I think that's where when John and I find ourselves fucking slamming our heads against the table and being like, what the fuck? And it's just like we eventually, you know, nature takes over and we just kind of go back to this place where it's like, let's just focus on what we can control. And then life's kind of good for a while. And then you run into another fucking problem. You're like, what the fuck? But I think it's those battles that are constantly pushing out your sphere of influence. And maybe one day one of us will find ourselves being – our sphere of influence covers the whole fucking globe. Who fucking knows? But it's like if you're trying to always operate outside your sphere of influence, that's when you're going to fucking sit in a bathtub, slit your throat, and fucking be the guy who gave it all – you know, gave
well,
it.
Well, I mean, dude, the it's – you know, it's a strange thing. Like, you know, can you – do you have to save everybody? You know, and I think like we always think about that. Like, is it our mission to fucking bring – good, solid, you know, strength conditioning. Like I think about, you know, in the 200 plus Talk to Me Johnnies I have, dude, there's been like millions of page views. I mean, thousands of comments and information. And like, what's crazy is I get the same questions and it's really slowed down for the mere fact that like people send me a question. I just forward them back a link on something I've already written.
Yes. You don't want to look.
Well, it's like the search function. So I'll forward, like, let me Google that for you, and like, it'll come up, and we'll send it to them. But it's become this constant fight where, you know, and I've joked about it on the blog all the time. People believe they're unique snowflakes and that, you know, everything's unique to them. And I'm like, you are going through the exact same fucking thing that everybody else is going through. And I know this because not only have I owned a commercial gym where we worked with hundreds of athletes. I've traveled the globe over the last 7 years certifying thousands of athletes. And before that, dude, I played at a job with some of the best athletes on the planet and trained and lifted weights as a job every day of my life and trained all over the world with the best people on the planet since I was fucking 14 years old. I think I have at least a little bit of expertise to tell you why this isn't right or how it all kind of fits together. But yet some guy on some message board on page 37 of some obscure fucking thread from 9 years ago heard a rumor that Jim Wendler said something to a guy at a bar, and that's what he's fucking going with. And, like, it's fucking unbelievable. Like, people will glean onto the most useless fucking deal as their fucking life hold because it somehow makes sense to them at that very moment, and it fucking doesn't. It's insane.
They're lost.
I think you answered a blog, like a question on your Talk to Johnny blog. You kind of said to the guy, as soon as you realize that you're not a unique snowflake, like, you will get this. And, you know, Dave Tate said something to the fact, like, we got to stop telling, you know, we tell people, hey, man, use the search function. Or he's like, well, they just probably want to hear that answer from you. But you're right. Like, people don't want to search for shit. And that's my thing. Like, I want to show people that if you just do this, if you just become a worker, then you're going to be more successful. And that's what fires me up, because I know that shit, you know, I know it has a carryover to everything. And that's my thing about being fired up. But you guys are right that you can't fucking change the entire world, save the world. But of course, that's how I think, you know, and I also like to, you know, speaking to all the lifters and the coaches listening, you know, I don't want us to become apologetic for, you know, accepting nothing less than excellence. Like, we got to stop feeling bad about it.
Oh, you're right on, Gene. I know, hey, man, I know you got a hard stop here. So any last wise words for the kids listening at home?
The kids, yeah. The work. The answer is in the work.
And for anyone who's fucking crazy enough to not even know who our boy Z is, where can they find you? Where do you want them to look at you? I know you're all over everywhere at once. You're the single person who has total omnipresence on Earth.
I would just say Google Underground Strength, and that'll take them to the blog, to YouTube, Instagram, and all that stuff. So pretty simple.
Cool. All right. Pets, yeah, did you have anything else, bud?
Yeah, Zach, I just want to I think we talked you off the ledge. I just want to give you some advice, and that's suffer fools gladly. Don't take anything too seriously or personally what people don't know what the fuck they're talking about. I think we accomplished something today.
Cool. Hey, you guys send me the invoice for the therapy session.
No problem. Don't worry. We've already faxed it over. You know, and there'll be
you know that
it also comes with a prescription for either Thorazine. So you're gonna have to take like 10 milligrams of Thorazine. We prefer like to do that IV, not IM. And then what do you think on?
Well, Tex and I take payment in ciders and Shiner Box and Yinglings. So
I do miss. I'll tell you, dude. This is the irony of that is they only sell Yuengling on the East Coast in the Philly area. And, like, it is so rare. Like, I've never seen Yuengling out here. So whenever I go back in that area, I'm always like, Yuengling? And they're like, they're, like, so excited about it. They're like, do you live in California? I'm like, yeah, they don't sell this shit out there. So that's always a – and that, the other thing, too, and nobody believes me, is they don't make chicken wings like they do in Philly and the East Coast. Like, there was wings everywhere out here. There's no wings. It's not the same. No. It's like pizza in California sucks. Sandwiches.
Hey, I'll say this before I cut out. I got to pick up my kids. I met up with K-Star years ago in Philly. He was doing a seminar. And I said, dude, before we go, you know, talk to our boy Johnny and find out where to eat. We went to the Continental. I remember we crushed food. And I was like, dude, we just ate like we're in the NFL. But I was like, are we over?
I actually remember he texted me.
I'm like 210. I'm 220. He's 230 or whatever. And I was just like, we just killed a bunch of food. I can only imagine John Welblin and his voice put this place
up. I remember that he texted me, and it was funny. He was like, if you were in Philly and you could go to one place, where would you go right now? 1 second. And I was like, Continental. And he's like, done. And then like, and I think he went there, and I think I texted him like, you have to order the Buzz Aldrin, which is a martini with tang in it.
you did have that stuff. I got it wrong, guys. But yeah, that was the best.
All right, dude. Thanks, Zach.
Yeah, Zach. Talk to you later, buddy.
Now it's time for you to empower your performance. For the love of God, start following Zach Evanesh on all forms of social media. He is very active. You can find him on Facebook or Instagram under the name Z Evanesh. Visit his website, www.undergroundstrengthclub, to read his blog or check out his book. He is a coach with a legacy and a very respected training philosophy, and it's that simple. You need to be inspired by him on a daily basis. Well, until next time, bye!